Begin the current daf and set the b'metzia daf kav ches. Begin 9 lines down at the top of the amud. But the Gemara continues in a related discussion from the previous daf. That is, the Gemara had mentioned different teachings from Rabbi Huda, which then was Rabbi Huda that said to Rav Adam Shulcha regarding measurements, because he would measure regarding the distance, the area that you need to leave around a river. And on that, the Gemara continues now with different teachings from Rabbi Huda, which also relate to the halachas relating to a river. So I'm Rabbi Huda. Hakol le'igle gafa. Everybody needs to help build the wall of the city and to put up the gates that enemy armies cannot enter into the city. Now, do you see that from the word igle? It's from the word of gates. And gafa means to close the city gates. Everyone has to assist. Even from orphans have to contribute. But the Talmid Chacham, Talmudic scholars, they don't have to contribute. My time, what's the reason? Rabbanon le'tzricha nitirusa. Rabbis, Talmudic scholars, don't need protection because their Torah protects them. As the Pasuk says in Mishlei, B'shach b'chotishmer alecha, which people say by seeing, that when you lay down, it watches over you, they don't need to contribute for the security. Now, but l'kargya de pasya, but to dig wells or to irrigate, to find a spring that to have water to drink, that v'afilim rabbanon. That even the rabbanon have to contribute because they also need a drink. Now, the reason why it's called kargya pasya is because the vessel that they would use to that would be the pitcher that would hang over there that you would be able to drink from the well was called pasya. So that's what kari is, the digging of pasya, which although that's not the well itself, it's actually the pitcher that's used to drink. But since that was used to drink, so that's what they called it. So on that, the Gemara says, that's afilam rabbana. That's even the rabbana have to contribute. Now, the Gemara qualifies, but v'lo yamaran el d'lo nafki b'chluza. That's only if the constituents of that city are not going out with literally tools to go ahead and dig it. Rather, what it means to say that everyone has to contribute, even the Rabbanan, regarding the collection of the monies to hire workers to go out and dig the well. But if it's regards to they're not hiring people, actually the city members are themselves going to dig it, that then the Rabbanan don't have to do that. Because the Rabbanan, the Rabbanan are not people that go out and dig wells because it's degrading for them and it's not appropriate for Talmud Chacham to have to do that. Another teaching, continuing on this theme about the water supply. Amar Rabbi Huda says, Lekarya de Nahara, for the digging of the river. In other words, sometimes that there would be, it would create a dam through natural means of when there would be a buildup of rock and debris, would stop the flow of the water in the river, so we have to dig to clear out what's blocking and damming the water. So on that side, Rabbi Huda, Tatoi Misayei Eloi. So when the people higher up on the river are fixing the area in their place, the people lower down on the river have to help out the people on the top. And the reason for that is because what's damming the water on the top of the river stops the water from flowing downstream. So it comes out that when the people on the top are fixing their part of the river, they're actually helping the people on the bottom. So the people on the bottom have to assist them. But the people on the top don't have to help out the people on the bottom. Because when the people on the bottom are fixing the part where it's damming over there, what they're fixing doesn't help the people on the top. Actually, it makes it worse for them. Because as long as the water is going to be flowing now to the bottom, that actually diminishes the water supply and its quantity that's on the top. And it actually dries up their field. So they actually prefer them to get stopped by the bottom so that it stays more on the top. So therefore, the bottom have to help out the top, but the top don't have to help out the bottom. Now, the reverse applies by rainwater. So, for example, let's say you have a city where the surplus of water is actually detrimental, where it causes mud and it ruins the roads. So they make these drain pipes to drain out the water out of the city. Now, if let's say one of the drain pipes get stuffed up, get ruined on the lower part of the pipe, and they're digging it up, so the upper people, the people higher up on the slope, they have to help the people on the bottom to dig it over there, because as long as the water doesn't go out on the bottom, out of the city, it's actually going to stop the water, it's going to keep it up on the top. So therefore, it's actually helping them because they want the water to flow out. But the people on the bottom don't have to help out the people on the top to dig over there on the top, because actually, as long as the water doesn't come down on the bottom because it's stuck on the top, it's actually good for the people on the bottom because now they're not getting that runoff water. So therefore, that's the same thing in the reverse, where the bottom don't have to help the top, but the top would have to help the bottom. Says the Gemara, Tanam Hachi, we actually learned in the Braisa, just like this Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. The Braisa illustrates it in the case. Chamesh Ganos HaMistapkes Mayim Mayin Echad. 5 gardens that got supplied from water from one spring. Now, Miniskalkal Hamayin, and the spring got ruined. So, and it's on a slope. Kula Misaknesim El Yaina. So all the lower gardens have to help out the upper gardens. Nimtzis, so it comes out, Hatachtoinu Misaknes Im Kulan, that the bottom one has to help all of them, because again, they're gaining so that the water from the spring could come to them. All the higher ones are assisting the bottom one. So the bottom one has to help all of them. But Misaknes La'atzmo. But when it's something is stuck on the bottom, then the bottom field, those people are the only ones that have to fix, and no one has to help them because it's not helping anyone on the top. To the contrary, when they get stuck, it stays more on the top for them. So that's regarding to the water that they need. Same thing is for the other category. When there's five courtyards, that would pour out their wastewater, which was the rainwater that they wanted it to run off, they let it run to one gutter, which was made to prepare to have the rainwater run off. Now, now the gutter gets ruined. So, kulon misaknes matachtoinu. Now, they all have to assist the bottom one when it's fixing it down there at the bottom, like we explained before, because the fact that it gets stuck over there, it actually keeps the wastewater on the top. So, when the bottom one fixes it, it's helping everyone. So, then as it comes out, halyoinu misaknesim kulon. So, the one on the top has to help all those that are on the bottom, because if anyone on the bottom gets stuck, it's detrimental for the one at the top. And when the top one it gets stuck, they're the only one helping themselves, because actually the bottom ones are happy that it's staying over there and the rainwater is not running off near their fields, near their yards. Now, Amar Shmuel. Shmuel said, now this halacha of Shmuel was relative to when there was the reign of the Persians, where they would make all land ownerless for whoever wanted to go ahead and grab it and take possession of a land to pay off the tax. Meaning to say that there was a tax on the land, and if a person wanted to take possession, he could, as long as he pays the tax of the land. Now, says Shmuel, if there is Haiman de Achzig Barakzid in the Harab, there's a person that comes along and he takes possession of the area of the land that's at the edge of the river. Now, that's an area where the ships and the boats, they come to the port. They need an empty, open area to unload the loads, the cargo that's coming from the ships, to put it down over there. Now, this guy goes, and since the government, they don't care, as long as it's providing for the government coffers, they allow someone to go and pay the taxes and buy the land, which would even be right by the edge of the river. So this guy goes, he takes possession because he wants to build a building or to plow and to plant over there, whatever purposes he wants to do that. So this is a person that's very audacious because he's ultimately ruining an area that's necessary for the public, because where are they going to unload all their cargo? But, says Shmuel, but to remove him based on the law, we can't remove him. Now, but says Shmuel, but now that the Persians, they write for whoever purchases a field at the edge of the river, they write that Kanilach, you acquired this field, ad until in middle of the river, malid savr susimaya, where the water comes up to the neck of a horse. So it comes out that when people would purchase the land at the edge, generally most people were not chatzifim, they're not so audacious. They would go ahead and they would build a fence at a distance from the river, because again, they didn't generally want to ruin the place of the public where they need to unload. Now, Seshmul, if there is going to come along one of these types of a chatzif, someone that has no respect for the public, and he's going to try to take possession of the land at the edge of the river, meaning from beyond this guy's fence, because this guy pulls his fence back so that the public has room, this guy wants to take possession of it by the river, Saluki, namim sakin leis Seshmul, now we could actually remove him, because it's actually already acquired by the one who had made the fence. His property actually goes into the water even, because that's how the Persians righted him. He just has respect for the public. Now, if another person wants to go and take possession, we could remove him because you have no right. It's actually owned by that person, although his fence is way out. That doesn't make a difference. That's because he respects the public and not you, but we could remove such a person. More continues in a related discussion. Again, another halacha of Amar Yehuda. He says, Amar Rav, in the name of Rav, Haiman, where we're saying about people that they're chatzifim, but we can't remove them, Haiman de achzik beni achi ubeni shrutvi. For a person that takes possession in a field that, again, where the government allowed whoever would pay the head tax, which let's say the previous owner didn't want to pay it and abdicated, whoever wants to pay it could take it. Now, there is a piece of land that's between the fields, the boundaries, of two brothers where they're right near each other. and there's a piece of land right in the middle, and someone takes possession of it by paying the government that tax, who, between brothers or between partners, so says Rav, Chatzifa Hava, so this is a person that has chutzpah, because what are you doing? These are two brothers or two partners, and there's a piece of land right in the middle, and this is obviously something that would apply to the two of them, and why are you coming in and getting involved over here? But Saluka Lemislakin, we can't remove such a person. Now, Rav Nachman, he disagrees. He says, no, not Mislakin, we could actually even remove such a person because of this chatzifas that he's doing about taking the land. Now, but Imishram Dinid Bamet, but says Rav Nachman, but let's say those two who are the fields right next to it are not brothers or partners. Rather, the reason why they would have a complaint is because it's on their boundary, and that's why they have complaints. Why are you taking possession? Let me at least extend my property. And they say, what, we really wanted to buy it because we needed land, and it's better for a guy to purchase a piece of land near him and not somewhere else. So why are you coming and buying right next to us, which is the small piece of real estate right next to us? And that's Rav Nachman, because of that complaint, lo misakin lei. For that itself, we wouldn't remove the guy who bought the piece of land, because according to Rav Nachman, we don't care about this concept about bar mitzvah, which is, we're going to continue the discussion on the next opinion. Now, although it's on your boundary, it doesn't make a difference. A guy could buy the field. The Nardoins, they said, no, we actually remove a guy who bought a piece of land, even there's not that there's brothers, even if it's just a guy right next to this piece of property, you bought it. If the guy next door wanted to buy it, we remove him because, as Mishum Shanim, like it says, the Pasuk in Devarim, Vasisa Yashavatay Hashem, you should do what's upright and good in the eyes of Hashem. In other words, something that you're not going to lose so much, because you ultimately could buy a piece of property, a piece of real estate somewhere else. So why are you making the one who is next door to him have to split up his properties? Because if he wants to buy another piece of property, now he has to go buy somewhere not connected to his piece of property. So says Nardai, even if it's just buying bar, the person, bar means the person, metzer, that's on the boundary, the next door neighbor, if he wants it, then we remove the guy, even if it's nothing to do with partners or between brothers. Now, continuing on this theme about Metzra, so the Gemara talks about if there is a field that's on the market to be sold. Now, an outsider comes, and Asa Imlechbe, he comes and he consults with the neighbor, and Amale, and he tells him, Ezel Ezben, I want to go ahead and buy this piece of land, your next door property. So he comes to take permission from the Bametzra, because as we said, a person in Vasisa Yashabatayev, you shouldn't take a piece of property if the next door neighbor wants it. So he comes in, he consults him, asking him, I want to go and buy it. V'amalei zil zaben. And the neighbor says, go ahead, go and buy it. So the question is, tzarech l'mikne minei oiloi? Does the outsider who wants to buy the piece of property actually have to make a kinyan, a formal act of acquisition from the neighbor to say, okay, you let me, let's make a kinyan, let's finalize it, or does he not have to make a kinyan as long as he gets permission? So as a machlekes, Ravina, he says, loy tzarech l'mikne minei, you don't have to make an actual acquisition. They say, no, you actually have to make a kinyan from the neighbor. And actually, if he does not make a kinyan, the neighbor could tell him, yeah, I know I told you go ahead and buy it, but that's because I was fooling you. Because I wanted to make the value of that property the true fair market value. Because had I gone to the owners, who is my next door, and say, I want to buy it, huh, they would have upped the price, skyrocketed, because they know I want to have it, because it's right next to me. So, therefore I said, yeah, you go ahead and you buy it, because he's not going to try to take you for a ride, because then you'll go somewhere else. But for me, it wasn't worth it for me. Therefore it says, Nardai, until you make a kinyan, the fact that he said go ahead, that doesn't prove that he lets it, and it wouldn't be considered acquired by that neighbor. And therefore, says the Gemara, V'hilchas atzach l'mekim, that halach is, like Nardai, that you actually have to make a kinyan from the Bametzra. And Hashda the Amr Tzorch LeMikdim, he says, now that we say that you have to actually make a kinyan from him, Eloi Kanimine, if this outsider does not make a kinyan from the Bametra, and therefore, as we said, the halacha is, the acquisition that he did make from the real owner is not a kinyan, it's nothing, because the Bametra, the next door neighbor, really has the rights. So it comes out that if a Yakir Vezoil, if let's say from the time when he bought it, it goes up in price or goes down in price, Birshu say, it's actually going up or down in the domain of the neighbor. In other words, when he comes to pay the one who bought the piece of land, because he really has the rights as the Bametra, he doesn't have to pay more or pay less from the value that it went up in price since that outsider bought it, because actually went up in the domain of the Bametra. And if it went down, it's the bar mitzvah's loss. Because it wasn't acquired by him. It was really, on some level, acquired by the bar mitzvah. It's really his. Because the fact that he bought it, he had no right, this outsider. And now that he has to give it to the bar mitzvah, he has to give it to him to the, according to the price, whether for better or for worse, that he bought it at the time that he did. Now the Gemara continues. Let's say Zavin b'meya. Let's say this outsider, who again, as we said, since he did not make a kinyan, he has to give it back to the bar mitzvah. Let's say he bought it for 100. Now, b'shavi masin, his actual value was 200. So says the Gemara Chazina. So we see, ilakuli amu komayzilo mazvin. If the truth is that although the book tells us that it's 200, but for everyone he was willing to sell it for 100. He was willing to go down. He was willing to sell for half the price. So then yavle meya b'shakali. Then the bametzer could give him 100 and remove him from the property. But v'iloi, but if not, let's say everyone he would charge 200. This guy, he wanted to charge him 100 for. Now the guy says, I'm the b'metra, I want the land. Then yavli mustn't b'shakali, then he has to give him 200 and then remove him because he only lowered the price for this guy. But since the actual market value is 200 and that's what he charged everyone, he would have to pay that guy 200. Now let's say the reverse. Let's say the Kelly books, zavin b'mustn't b'shavi b'meya. Let's say it was actually worth 200. Actually, he bought it for 200, but it was only worth 100. It got overpaid by 200%. So says the Gemara, Savimino, so they thought, based on the previous halacha, that Matzi Amale, that here the Bar Metzer could tell the guy who bought it, look, I sent you, even though he didn't really send him, but he was working as his agent because he bought it when he really wasn't supposed to. It really goes the rights to the bar mitzvah. So I sent you to make things better for me, not to make things worse for me. I'm not going to pay you 200 when it's only worth 100. This is what the Nardai is saying in the name of Rav Nachman. That ain't I know, there's no einah. There's no price fraud when it comes to real estate. Real estate could go even double, triple the amount that its true market value is. And therefore, the fact that he paid over doesn't mean that he did something wrong. And he would have to pay him the amount that he paid, which was 200. Continuing on these halachas, the Gemara says, Zavan le griva de ara b'mitzin nichse. If a person sells, he buys a piece of, there's a consumer that buys a piece of land from the seller that's in the middle of all the seller's properties. In other words, the seller has other properties surrounding a piece of land. So the Gemara says Chazinan, so we look. If that piece of land that's in the middle of the seller's all of his properties are either much better than the rest or much worse than the rest, so therefore, we see that that piece of land in the middle is something that's distinct from the rest of his properties that's surrounding it, because it's not similar. It's either much better or much worse. So then, zvini. So then, that sale is a sale, and in other words, and the people that are in the boundary of this seller's fields cannot remove him because there's actually there's interposition there. There's something in between. It's not on their metra, because that guy, the seller, still has fields all around which are on these guys' borders. It's in the middle of those fields that he sold. So since it's obviously that there's something distinct about this field in the middle, so he's allowed to sell it to this guy. Now, but as the Gemara continues on with Bayes, the Eloi, but if let's say that piece of land in the middle, as in the donut hole, is not any different than the fields around it, then the Rumi Kama'ar, then really they're using subterfuge. In other words, what the buyer is saying to himself, he says, look, if I'm going to buy the field of the seller that's near all these other people that live around him, they're going to remove me because of the halacha b'metzer. So he says, I have a trick. I'm going to buy an area of a field of a basa in the middle of this guy's fields. And that they can't remove because that's not on their boundary. Then I'm going to be b'metzerin for this seller's field on all sides because I'm in the middle of all his fields. And then afterwards, I'm going to buy all his fields off and then they can't remove me because I outsmarted them. I got in there in the middle and now I'm also b'metzer. Now, so therefore, says the Gemara, actually, they could even remove him from this field that he's buying in the middle. Because since it's obvious that he's just using subterfuge to avoid the halacha b'metzer, but he's really planning on violating the halacha, if it's something different, so okay, we could say it's not subterfuge. He wants to buy this field, and it's different. But this, why you're buying in the middle, it's obvious because you're trying to do this trick, and therefore they remove him even now. other exceptions to this halacha b'metzah. The Gemara says matana, when someone gifts a field to someone else, less b'mishum dina b'metzah. There's no halacha of b'metzah over there because he wants to gift it to this guy, and the owner has all the rights to gift it to someone. So when someone's coming to buy, why are you buying over here? When this guy has next door, let him extend. You're spending money, go spend somewhere else. But when he's getting a free gift, then there's no b'metzah. Now Amar Meimer, he says ikasav le'achrayas. But if let's say the gifter actually writes that he's that there's responsibility attached to it, he's insuring him if anything happens to it, he's going to reimburse him, then is b'mishum dina b'metzah. Then actually the halacha b'metzah does apply, because then obviously it really is a sale, because generally people don't write that they're insuring a gift that they give to someone else. It must be that it's really a sale, and again, it's just a subterfuge, and therefore then the halacha b'metzah apply, and he wouldn't be allowed to buy the field if the neighbor wants it. Another case, machar kol nechasav le'echad. If the seller is selling all his properties to one person, wherever his properties are, he has a property in the east, he has a property in the west. Now, one of the neighbors of one of the pieces of property is complaining, saying, hey, how could you sell this guy this piece of property? I'm a next door neighbor, and I want to extend my property. Now, that says the Gemara, less b'mishum dina b'metzah. For there, the halacha b'metzah does not apply. And the reason for this is an important fundamental principle in the halacha b'metzah. The sages did not institute this halacha of removing the consumer, which was, we said, based on the halacha of asisa yeshiva toiv for the next door neighbor, if it's going to be bad for the seller. Because here, if this guy said, okay, I'm selling you, I have 150 properties, I have one in that state, in that country, if you're going to start saying that, okay, this one you can't because that neighbor and this one can't because that neighbor, he's just going to say, I'm out of this whole deal. And then the seller's going to lose this deal. When that comes up, then we don't make the dina b'metzah. Because as the Gemara later on says, that when it's going to be a loss for the seller, then why do you do a yashav ha'tayv for this next door neighbor, do a yashav ha'tayv for the actual owner? So then we don't do the sisa yashav ha'tayv of b'metzah. Now let's say the owner is selling it l'bailam harishayim to the original owners. They're also less b'mishum dina b'metzah. The halacha b'metzah does not apply. The original owner has the right to buy it too. Zavin me'akim v'zavin la'akim. Let's say he's either buying it from a non-Jew or selling it to a non-Jew. They wrote a less b'mishum dina b'metzah. The halacha b'metzah does not apply. Zigmar explains. Zavin me'akim. If let's say there's a next door property to this Jewish person, it's owned by a non-Jew, and then he buys it from the non-Jew, where the guy says, "Hey, I'm next door neighbor." The b'metzah, he says, "No," because the amale, the buyer, could tell the neighbor, "Ari avrochi lach me'metzah. I got rid of a line from you by your neighbor. In other words, there's no greater yashav ha'tayv than that. I did you something good. Now you're saying that you would want to buy it. That's not. I don't have to adhere to that. I am doing a yashav ha'tayv because I got rid of a non-Jew that could harm you from the next door, a lion, and now I'm going to live there." Let's say zavin la'akim. Let's say he sells it to a non-Jew. So there's also not, because akum vadilav bar v'asisa yashav ha'tayvu. A non-Jew doesn't have the mitzvahs of v'asisa yashav ha'tayv. And therefore, as we said, the application of the b'metzah was actually on the consumer, and that doesn't apply to a non-Jew. So therefore, there's no problem with yeshiva tayv when they're selling it to a non-Jew. The reason for that is because the seller could tell the next door neighbor what I do to you. If I wanted, I didn't have to sell it. I could have held on to it. But it's regards to the consumer that we say the application, because why are you buying it? Leave it and let this next door neighbor buy it. So it's on him that he's doing the violation of asisa yeshiva tayv. But the seller, what do you mean? You wouldn't have had it anyway, because I don't have to sell it. If I'm selling it, I'm allowed to sell it. Now the buyer is the one that's saying, but why are you buying from him? Let him buy it, because this guy doesn't care about the money that he's getting. But since there's no asisa yeshiva tayv on the non-Jew, so in that situation there's no violation. Now, but says the Gemara, shamuti vadi mishamtin le, but we definitely place a ban on the seller that he's selling it to a non-Jew, to this Jewish neighbor, until he accepts all liabilities that are going to happen because of this non-Jewish neighbor that now this Jewish person has, until he accepts responsibility, we place a ban on him while you're selling it to a non-Jew. Continues the Gemara, Mashkanta. If the seller sells it to the person that he gave it as a security, as collateral for a debt, less b'mishum dina b'metzah. There's also no dina b'metzah. So although this guy lives far away, and there are neighbors here that would have loved to buy it, but if he gives it to the guy that was holding on to it for security, he sells it to him, there's no halacha b'metzah. The Gemara is going to explain, because actually this lender or this creditor is a shachin. He's also a neighbor, actually more than all the other neighbors, because actually all of that property is residing, which that's really where the word shchuna, shachin, comes from, is really residing in him because he's holding on to it now as security. The Amar Rav Ashi, like Rav Ashi said, that Amrli Sabi de Masa Machasi, the elders of Masa Machasi told me, my mashkanta, what's the root of the word mashkanta, which means collateral security? It's the shchuna gabe, it's from the root of shachin, because it's residing by him. The guy who has the security, he's holding on to it. So my nafkamina, what's the halachic relevancy of that? That's why it's called mashkanta, is ladin b'metzut. It's the halachas of the people on the boundary, where the people on the border, and they're the ones that say, hey, we're neighbors. This guy's saying, I'm the biggest neighbor, I'm in the field itself. So therefore, there's no problem. Let's say limka barachik. Let's say the seller wanted to sell this field because it's far away from him. It's very hard to maintain the field far away. Because of a legal bakar. Because he had another field nearby. He was like, great, you know what? This field was always so far. I have another field right here. I could sell that one. I'll buy it right next to me. Or let's say barav a legal yafa. Let's say he had a bad field. And he wanted to be able to sell it to get rid of it so that he could go ahead and redeem it with a better field. So in those two situations, less ba mishum din ba metzur. If he has a buyer, he doesn't have to consider the facts that the neighbors might have wanted to buy it. And the reason is because, again, we don't want to create a loss for the seller because of the good and the upright for the next door neighbor. Because, again, just like we have to do good for the neighbor, so do we have to do good for the seller. And if we're going to come and delay the situation because, oh, wait a second, you can't sell to him. Maybe the neighbors want, the neighbors get together, and which neighbor? So maybe in that period, he's going to lose the one that he wanted to sell to be able to buy the other one, and he's going to lose the opportunity to have a property right next to him or to have a better piece of property. So there we don't apply bar metzah because of the loss that it'll cause for the seller. So too, l'charga. If let's say he's selling the piece of land to be able to pay up the taxes to the king, or the mezaini so that he could have money to support a widow and the daughter, where it's the court that sells the properties of the orphans for that purposes, or l'kvura, or it's for burial of someone that had died, again, there also less ba mishum din ba metzah, there halach of din ba metzah does not apply because of the immediacy that you need for taxes or for providing for sustenance or for burial. We don't create a delay and say, oh, let's ask the neighbors and so on. Because the Amri Nardah, like Nardah, he said, l'charga l'mazaynu l'kvura, for the head tax, for sustenance, and for burial, mizavnin b'l'achrasta, we sell the properties of orphans without even making an announcement, where generally that they would make an announcement for a certain amount of days so that they can get the highest amount of money so that it's not a loss for the orphans. But however, in these situations, we don't delay because maybe the government is going to get upset, and because of the loss of sustenance and the degradation for the widow and for the daughter, and in the case of burial, for the degradation of the one who died. And for sure, if that's even that we do that to the orphan's money, for sure, regards to bar mitzvah, we're not going to delay it to notify and let people know and say, okay, they're the neighbors and they're going to have a neighborhood meeting and so on and so forth. If we don't delay for these things, there's not halacha bar mitzvah in that situation. Continues the Gemara. Le'isha, if the guy sold the property to a woman, we don't remove the woman from the property to give it to the next door neighbor. Because it's not the custom of women to go ahead and start seeking and searching to go ahead and buy a piece of land. Because whatever piece of land they get first, that's the one they're going to take. And therefore we don't say Basis Yeshiva Toiv to distance the woman in this situation. And also, Uliyasme, in regards to orphans or Lashutfi, or if let's say someone sold it to his partner, to his friend who was a partner with him, now he sells it to his partner, less ba mishum din ba metzah, in these situations, no halacha of ba metzah, we don't remove him because of the ba metzah to say, wait a second, you know, you're a partner, but you're next to his half, so just like you're on his boundary, so too are we, and we want to share it with you. And then we say that no, since it's not clarified what's his part, it's like almost like the concept we said regarding the one who had the mashkanta, the security, where he says, wait a minute, I reside in the whole thing, I'm a partner with him. You can't say this part is mine and this is his and you're on the boundary there and I'm on the boundary here. No, there we don't say dina bat metzah. And again, for a woman and for the yisayimim, for their sake, they can't just say, oh, buy another field, because for them it's difficult. So there also we don't say the halacha bat metzah. Now for the next part of the Gemara, Rashi says that this is not a continuation of the halacha of bar mitzvah per se. Rather, it's giving good counsel and appropriate ideas, what's the moral imperative for a seller, that if he has a field to sell, and there are people that are coming to buy, so then if let's say Shechein Ha'ir, let's say his neighbors from this city who live next to him. They want to come and buy it. And the Shechini Sade. And he also has his neighbors from the field. One could think of the country and the city. He has neighbors that are on the field, their field and near his. Now, thing is that this field that he has to sell is not near the boundary of any one of them. It's not regarding to Bar Metzer. It's just that you want to always provide for those that are closer to you in your genogram and in your concentric circles. So who should come first? Your neighbors in the city or your neighbors in the field? And that says the Gemara, Shechini Ha'ir Kaimen. Your neighbors from the city, they come first. Let's say Shachin B'Talmud Chacham. Let's say you have the ability to sell to a neighbor or to a Talmudic scholar. So Talmud Chacham, the Talmudic scholar comes first. Let's say Kar B'Talmud Chacham. Let's say you have a relative or a Talmud Chacham. Again, Talmud Chacham, the Talmudic scholar comes first. Ibayilu, that the following question. Shachin B'Kar V'Mai. Let's say you could sell it to a neighbor or to a relative. So Zigmar Tashamai, coming here from a pasuk in Mishlei that says Toiv Shachin Karev, better is a close neighbor Me'ach Rochik, from a distant brother. So we see that the neighbor actually takes precedence over the relative. Now the Gemar continues with the halachas about Metzra. Hani Zuzi Tavi. Let's say the neighbor, the Bametzra, who's coming to complain about the sale that you sold it to someone else. He's coming to pay and say, well, I'm willing to buy the field, which therefore he has the rights, with coins that are heavier than those of the consumer. But the consumer, the Hani Zuzi Tikuli, there are these two coins, the Zuzi Tavi and Zuzi Tikuli. The ones of the Bametzer are Tikuli, from the word of shekel, they're very heavy. But the consumer has Tavi, means that they're good, that is, they're more easily used in currency in the market, more than the neighbors, or even in the reverse. Says the Gemara, less b'mishum din b'metz. In that situation, there is no halacha b'metz, because, as we said, the seller doesn't have to suffer loss. And the seller could say, I prefer this type. Sometimes people want the heavier weights, the heavier coins to use it as weights. Sometimes people want, no, not the heavier one, but the one that's more easily used in business dealings. So if one of them has one type and the other one has another type, he could say, I don't need to buy from the Bametzra. Why not? What's the difference? It makes a difference. I want the coins that this other outside consumer has. Let's say, Hani Tsairi Vahani Shari. Let's say, there's two people. There's the consumer, and then there's the neighbor who send their money to say, we want to buy the field. Now, but the neighbor's money was tied and bundled and sealed together. Now, the seller is afraid to open it because he doesn't want that the neighbor should say, oh, there was much more than this. What are you talking about? I put in all this money. Now, the consumer, this other outsider, his money was out in the open. So, and that says the Gemara, less b'mishum din d'bametzer. In that situation, there's no halacha b'mametzer because it's going to create a loss for the seller. Because he's going to say, why do you think I'm selling this field? I need money. Now, the problem is that I can't wait for this neighbor to come and open it up and that we should count the money together. When the guy sends it out in the open, it's easy to see how much money there is. But when it's sealed, he's afraid to open it. And the guy's going to say, what do you mean? I see you opened it, you tampered it, it was really more money. So in that type of situation, I said, no, I don't want to deal with this. My metzra is going to cause me a loss. For that, the seller doesn't have to deal with it, and he could sell it to the outsider who is giving money that's open and untied, where he doesn't have to go through that cumbersome process of having that other guy come and open it up. Now, Omar, let's say if the Bametzra says, Ezel v'itrach v'aisi zuzi, he says, I want to buy it, so he's supposed to have the first rights. He says, I'm going to go, I'm going to put in the effort, I'm going to go and try to, what's called finagle money, I'm going to go ahead and schnurr and get money, because I never knew, I see you're selling, I want the property right next to me, I have first rights. Says, Gemara, lo natrinle, we don't wait for him. Because the seller doesn't have to wait now 6 months till the next door neighbor says he's going to find money, he didn't get a loan, he went to a gemach. You don't have to wait for that. Now, Amar Ezel Aisi Zuzi, let's say he says, not that I'm going to go through the effort and try to gather. He says, I have. I'm going to go now and get the money. So that's his Gemara Chazina. So then we see, Igavid Amar, who, if he's a person that we can evaluate him and we can see that he probably has the resources to get it, we're the Azalum Aisi Zuzi, that he can go and bring money. So naturally, then we wait for him because it makes sense that he's just going to pick it up. But if you lie, but if this is a guy that doesn't really have, we don't assume that he has ways to get the money, then naturally, then we don't wait for him for that period of time, could right away sell it to this outsider. Now, related discussion The Gemara says that ar dechad ubati dechad. If, let's say, the piece of land is owned by one person, and there's a building on that piece of property that's leased by another person. So says the Gemara, mori ara ma'akiba mori bata. So the owner of the land can stop the owner of the house not to sell the house to another person, because since he's coming to sell it, and this guy who owns the land that the house is on would obviously need it, because it's good to have a building on a person's property, and therefore there is hayosha batayv over there, so he could stop him from selling it to someone else. But mori bati le ma'akiv amori da'ara. But the one who is the inhabitant of the house cannot stop the owner of the land, because he's not considered really a shachin as a neighbor, because when his lease runs out, he's going to anyways be removed from the land. So he's not considered a full-fledged neighbor to say that, oh, I want you to sell it to me because of a sisa yosha batayv. Similarly, ara dechad v'dikli dechad. The piece of land is owned by one person, and the palm tree, the tree on the property, is owned by someone else, meaning because the owner of the property had sold the tree in this field to someone else, that this guy could stay here until a certain amount of time or until the tree dries up. So here too. Mari da'ara matzim akav amari dikli. So the owner of the land can hold back the owner of the tree. If he wants to sell it, that, look, it's on my land, it would definitely be beneficial for me to have a tree on my land. And therefore there's vasisi yashavatayv. But mari dikli le matzim akav amari da'ara, that the owner of the tree cannot stop the owner of the land, because again, you're only here transient, you're only here temporarily, you can't consider yourself a shachin to demand that the land that your tree is on gets sold to you. Going back to what we were talking about before, regarding bar mitzvah, the Gemara says, "Ara lebati va'ara lezara." If someone has, if there's two people that want to buy the piece of land, the person on the boundary, the neighbor, wants to buy it to use for planting. The outsider who, consumer, wants to buy it, wants to buy it to build a house. Says the Gemara, "Yishuv adav." Settling the land, meaning building a house, is better. In this situation, Bezdin did not institute a basisa yeshav atayv, because actually, it's better for to have the house, someone living there, than the neighbor going ahead and having extending his property. And therefore, less b'mishum din b'metzah. Therefore, there's no halacha of b'metzah, because we want the land to be settled. Another halacha, asik mishunisa. If let's say there's a hard bedrock, which is you can't use for living purposes, that separates between the field of the neighbor and the field of the guy who's selling his property, or if there's actually palm trees that are contiguous, one next to another, near each other, which block off and prevents the connection between one neighbor and the other, the neighbor who wants to buy it. So says the Gemara, if the neighbor could get at least one row of his field to continue from his field into the neighbor's field that he wants to buy, then ispa mishum dinu de bametza, then the halacha bametza would apply, because that's really the concept of bametza, which is that it's much more convenient for a person, instead of buying two properties, which is not near his own, but to extend the property and have a one big property. But it has to at least then be able to be connected, because if not, essentially it's like another property, and therefore wouldn't make a difference if it's one house over or two houses over. But if it connects even at least one row, then the bametza applies. But if he can't even connect it in one row, then less be mishum din mitzvah, then halacha b'mitzvah does not apply, and he doesn't have to sell it to the neighbor. Now the Gemara says, Hani dal b'nei matzroni. These four people that are on the boundary, where if you have a piece of property, picture a square, you have four sides, all the four neighbors. So it says the Gemara, Dikodim chad minayim b'zavin. If one of the neighbors goes quickly before the others and buys the piece of property, because he tells the guy, hey, you're selling the property, I'm a neighbor, you got to sell it to me, and he sells it to him. So zvini. So the sale is a sale, because although he didn't consult with the others, he's a neighbor, and that's basisa yeshav ataiv, and he doesn't have to consult with the other ones. Now, the ikulu asu bahadeh adadi, but if all the neighbors hear about it and they come all at once to say, hey, I'm a neighbor, you should sell it to me, then what do? Palgula bikar nazl. Then they split it on the four diagonals, meaning as many Gemaras have this picture, that each one takes a triangle slice of the piece of land, which that's actually the word karnazel, is from the word of karenzil, meaning go to the corners, meaning then everyone's getting ultimately exactly the line along where their field is. But how would you split it like that to get exactly, if you make it all in triangles, you exactly split the field evenly with everyone getting exactly on their boundary.